Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, April 5th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Happy Easter, everybody. Hope you're doing well this morning. The Lord has risen. The Lord has risen indeed. What a phenomenal day for the believers in this world, the Christians of this world that celebrate Jesus's victory over death. And the price has been paid for you and has been paid for me through the death of Jesus, who undeservedly died on the cross for our sins, but he did it anyway because he loves us so much. And several days later, Jesus rose again, and they rolled away the big stone from the tomb entrance, and they went in, and he was not there. And y'all, Jesus conquered death so that we don't have to. And isn't that glorious? Isn't that just an encouraging word? And, you know, if you're a believer, this should be the most exciting day of the year for you. I know we all get excited about Christmas and the gift giving and the holiday season and all that, but y'all, Easter Sunday is what the faith is all about. Because if you trust in Jesus for your faith and your salvation, then you know he overcame death. And that's what we're celebrating today, is when they rolled that stone away from the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, Jesus was not there. And we're going to talk about it this morning. I'm going to read. I just thought it'd be kind of fun to do this year on the show. Is I'm just going to read a couple of chapters from Mark and just tell the story. The week leading up to Easter, can you imagine what a hard week that was for Jesus? I mean, he knew, right? If he's God, he knew what he was going to be going through and how it was all going to unfold, but yet he still did it anyway. And y'all, I can't get over that. It's so encouraging to me. Is you know, if it was you or me that was going through something like that, yeah, we would be, you'd feel sorry for us because we didn't deserve it. But you know, that's a whole other thing. But Jesus knew what he was going to get, and he knew he didn't deserve it. But yet he continued to take a step after a step after a step, and all the way up to Calvary's Hill. And he did it. He paid that price because of how much he loves us. But we're going to talk about that this morning. Just hanging out. Glad you're listening. Hope you're doing well today. And happy Easter. And just be thinking about what it means to you. And we'll be back here in just a minute to pick up in the book of Mark. We're going to pick it up in the book of Mark, chapter 14, starting with verse 43. It says, just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. I am leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me. Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself by the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands. Yet even their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. Have you heard the blasphemy? What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophecy!" And the guards took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also are with the Nazarene, Jesus," she said, but he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and he went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near Peter, standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is setting the stage, y'all. This is when it's really game on. He has been arrested. He's been identified. He's been chastised. He's been accused falsely. And the evil one is plotting against him. And Jesus' time is coming, right? And it's unfortunate, but it had to happen. And back to my earlier point, you know, Jesus, he knows this is bad, right? You've been arrested. You've been spit on, blindfolded, probably beaten, cussed, accused. And you got to be scared. I would be. But Jesus knew, and he kept walking through it, and he kept walking through it, and he kept walking through it. We're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to talk about Mark 15, and that's where Jesus is before Pilate, and kind of the accusations and where the story unfolds from there. So hope you're doing well this morning. I'll be back here in just a few minutes on Sunday morning. Picking up in Mark chapter 15, this is Jesus before Pilate. Starts in verse 1 by saying this, "Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. 'Are you the king of the Jews?' asked Pilate. 'You have said so,' Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, 'Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?' But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner from whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. 'Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?' asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. 'What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?' Pilate asked. 'Crucify him,' they shouted. 'Why? What crime has he committed?' asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, 'Crucify him!' Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. We're going to pick it up with Mark chapter 16, verses 1. And as a believer, y'all, this is where Jesus conquered death. This is where it's recorded, and this should be the most triumphant thing we read in the Bible. But it starts here in verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Man, how amazing is that? Could you imagine being in that situation? Could you imagine running up to that tomb and seeing that stone rolled away? Could you imagine being one that somebody came and said, Jesus is risen. What are you talking about? There's no way. It's hard to believe, right? And then Jesus called him out for it. But I'm so thankful for he did. I'm so thankful that he did and that he rose on that Sunday morning. And y'all, that's why we celebrate Easter. It's not about the candy. It's not about the Easter egg hunts. It's not about the pretty clothes and all the fancy stuff. I mean, that's fun. It's good. I get it. But we can't miss the message. And that's that God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and for me. And all he wants is a relationship with you. He just wants to see you to say thank you, and I trust in you, and I believe in that, and I have faith that Jesus is who he said he is, and that he did live a sinless life, and that he died on the cross falsely. He was falsely accused, and he still took the punishment. And he died, and he hung, and he suffocated on that cross in a brutal, brutal death. Because he loves us. Y'all, that's just love that we can't even comprehend. I think about that a lot. I go, man, when I die for, I believe I die for my wife. I believe I die for my children. I believe I die for a lot of my family members. But until you're put in that situation, how do you know? But there's Jesus died for you and for me and for people that loved him and for people that didn't love him. But he still gave it all. What an inspiration that is. Hope you're doing well this Sunday morning. We're going to be back here on the other side in just a few minutes on Sunday morning. Come on back here on Sunday morning. I'm Shaw Gage. Thanks for hanging out with us. We've been talking about the book of Mark this morning, chapters 14 through 16, and just the whole story, not the whole story, but a lot of the story of Easter and just leading up to that, and just a emotion-filled week. If you pay attention to really the whole week and you observe Palm Sunday and leading all the way through the week, and each day has a different significance and meaning and impact on us today, thousands of years later. But, you know, what does it mean to you? If you've listened to it today and you've heard the story that I've read and just what God's Word says about Jesus, God's sacrifice through Jesus Christ for us, I mean, in this day and age, it's hard to sacrifice. It's hard to give up. It's hard to be selfless, quite honestly. Matter of fact, we're probably persecuted if we try to be selfless, or we're made fun of or felt ostracized, because who does that? And society tells us today quite the opposite. It's all about me. It's all about the individual. It's all about how I feel. And we've created a selfish, selfish world. And it's so counterintuitive to what God did for us through Jesus Christ. It is the complete opposite. And y'all, when we start figuring out that it's about other people, putting other people before ourselves, that's when you really start making a difference. That's when you really start having an impact on this world. And look, we're not going to change the whole world, but we can start at one conversation at a time. Starts with you, starts with me. And you know, it's not always just the people you get along with or you're friendly with, you know? It's having that conversation with somebody that may not look just like you or may not just talk like you do, or may not just vote like you do, or may just not do a lot of things like you. But that's where I am in life, y'all, is just trying to break bread with people and just sit down and have conversations, because Jesus did that. Jesus did so much more than that. He just wanted to have a relationship with him and just encourage him and just let him know it was going to be okay. And throughout world history, people have fought it, and people are still fighting it today. So don't worry if you go out and try to encourage somebody and they tell you, man, I don't want to hear any of that stuff, or I don't, you know, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. I've had it happen very few times. Most of the time, people go, man, I really appreciate you sharing that. And it leads to another conversation. But that, again, just being selfless, and it all starts with the model that Jesus gave us. He was the ultimate sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to sacrifice animals. And can you imagine keeping up with all that and just how messy and stinky, quite honestly, that was, cleaning all that stuff up and sacrificing animals and blood? It just, you know, but thankfully, Jesus came along and it just, he took all that. And so there doesn't have to be animal sacrifices anymore. He was the ultimate sacrifice and the price that paid it all. Moving forward. And you know, when I hear somebody go, I don't know if I believe all that, you know, why don't they sacrifice anymore? I don't know anywhere. I mean, maybe they do somewhere in other countries that I'm not aware of, but it's not really a practice in Jerusalem, right? In that area of the world, they don't sacrifice animals anymore. So I believe Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. And I'm so thankful for that as a believer, as a Christian, and I'm thankful for this day. It is Easter Sunday, and yes, it's a fun day to be around family, to go to church, wear your nice clothes, eat a good lunch, hopefully do an Easter egg and all that stuff. It's all good. But focus on this today. As you're out and about with family or whatever you're doing, just take a few minutes to thank God for his creation, but thank him most importantly for Jesus Christ. and the fact that he was sacrificed for us and he overcame death. So we don't have to worry about it, y'all. And if you've ever been close to death, if you've ever thought about death, I know I have in my life with my all my stuff. I mean, there's times you think, where am I going? What am I going to do? And I was reminded a few weeks ago and having a conversation with a good friend of mine. I was like, hey, there's only two things that matter to me anymore. Number one, am I going to heaven? And because of what Jesus did on Black Good Friday, sorry, what he did on Good Friday, I got turned around there, but what he did on Good Friday and then rose again on the third day, on Easter Sunday, that paid the price. I'm so thankful for that. It's so inspirational, and it's just the ultimate, ultimate sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. I say this a lot. Thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us. Thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. I was just talking between segments about, you know, just getting together, fellowshipping. Janet and I had some folks over last weekend. It was a beautiful weekend. We've been working like crazy to get some stuff down around the house and some minor repairs and pressure washing and all that good stuff. But we just got together and had a barbecue and had some cornhole set up in the backyard and just, you know, just fellowshipping with friends, with family, with neighbors, and just interacting. And not everybody was just like me. And that's what we were talking about in the last segment is, you know, it's fun to impact people, but it doesn't have to be just the people in your church. It doesn't have to be the people that look just like you or vote like you or sound like you. No, man, Jesus loves everybody. God created us all in his image. And what we're focusing on today being Easter Sunday is just an incredible, incredible reminder of what it's all about. And it's all about being selfless. It's all about, you know, I mean, just give it away. And, you know, just trust the Lord. It's all his anyway. We didn't bring it in with us, and we're not taking it out when we go. So just don't get too wrapped up in the small stuff. Don't get wrapped up in the materialism. Don't get wrapped up in anything other than the fact that it's all about Jesus Christ and what he did for you and what he did for me. And this weekend, y'all, this is what it's all about, where Jesus died, he hung on a cross, and then he overcame death. 3 days later, he rose again. And he conquered death, and so we don't have to. So when you draw your last breath, look, everybody out there listening, we all have one thing in common. We're all going to die. I don't know how to say it any other way. And when you've been through a health thing, you've been through a health scare, you've been through something where you've been close to death, maybe feel like you cheated death a little bit, you think about it a lot, and you go, what is going to happen when I draw that last breath? There's been moments in my life where I thought I'm close. And what's it going to look like on the other side? What is that? Is Jesus going to be standing there going, hey, come on in? Or is he going to be standing there going, I'm not sure I know who that is? But if you don't know the answer to that question, and you don't know how he's going to respond when you show up in heaven, however that works, I believe he's going to look at us and go, what'd you do with what I gave you? You know? And I don't want to be standing there going, well, you know, trying to come up for like I was in the principal's office in the fourth grade. Well, you know, it wasn't my fault. No, I think we need to be prepared. And if you trust Jesus for your salvation, y'all, this weekend's what it's all about. And that Easter sunrise, I always like going to the sunrise services, by the way, because I think that's what it probably looked like when everybody went running to the tomb and they realized Jesus wasn't there. But can you imagine what that looked like? Wow, such an incredible gift. And they didn't even realize it really in the moment. And it's still, we sometimes miss it and don't realize exactly what Jesus did for us. But y'all, just a reminder, it's Easter Sunday. He loves you. God loves you so much. John 3:16 is very well, very widely quoted out there in our world. You used to see it at ball games all the time on the little signs. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And y'all, that's the simplest way you can put it, and it's true. And get it right today. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never trusted in him for that, just have a conversation with him. It's just like talking to me on the phone or in person. It's just like talking to your family member or a friend. He already knows your heart. Just tell him. Just get out of that comfort zone and go, God, I need you. I need help in this area of my life, and he'll help you. I promise you that. So pass it on. Let everybody know. If you already know, pass it on. Get out there and tell people. Get excited. It starts one conversation at a time, and it starts with you, and it starts with me. Reach out to somebody today, encourage them, let them know that Jesus loves them. And y'all, this is the most exciting time of the year for Christian people, for people of the Christian faith, for anybody that trusts in Jesus for their salvation, because it is, again, where he gave his life for you and for me so that we could spend eternity with him. And it's paid. It's done. It's sealed forever. And you don't have anything to worry about. Man, what a great gift he gave us in that. Thank you, Lord, and thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Happy Easter, everybody. It's already to the end of another show. They just seem to get faster and faster each week. Just a special show this week. And I know it was a little bit different. I read a lot of scripture, and I hope you're okay with that. If not, you've probably already turned me off. But if you have, thanks for listening and hanging out. I just felt it was important. Sometimes we just get different excerpts on Sunday morning, and then maybe the next year or two before you hear that Easter story again. But I just, as I was prepping, I thought, man, it'd just be good to go through a majority of that story and just think about what it was like as Jesus, you know, kept walking through those hoops. He kept doing what he had to do to save us. And y'all, I can't think of a more selfless, grace-filled act than what he did and what we talked about in the book of Mark this morning. And I'm so thankful for that, not only for my own salvation, but for my family members and my friends and anybody that trusts him, because y'all, that's what it's all about. I mean, we can't take any of this stuff with when we go. Nothing wrong with having nice things, but I've seen a lot of people work their whole lives and just get a little bit more, get a little bit more. And I'm talking materialism. And, you know, it's just never enough, because the more you have, the more you crave. At least that's the way it works for me. But when you have Jesus, you have it all, because it's all his anyway. Even the conquering of death, which he gave us, because he hung on that cross undeservedly. And he died a brutal, brutal death. And he suffocated hanging on that cross. And he was beaten and he was spit on. And he was whipped all the way out in that crown of thorns and just the mockery and everything else. And he kept going through it, knowing what was coming, knowing how bad it was going to be. That makes it even more incredible. Because if it would have been me, I would have known what was coming. I'd have been just, you know what? I'd have probably just died right there on the spot because I couldn't take it. But Jesus knew what was coming. And he kept walking through that path. He kept doing it. And y'all, it's an encouragement to us. So whatever you're going through, it's going to be all right. Because you didn't hang on a cross. And you're not being punished unjustly, necessarily. Some people are, I get that. But not to the extent Jesus was. But Jesus didn't become a victim. Jesus didn't go, poor, poor me. Jesus went, no, it's all good. I got it. I got it. I'll pay the price. Because it's about serving everyone else. And if we could all take a little bit more of that attitude. Not saying you got to lay your life down for somebody, but if you could take a little bit for somebody, maybe it's just a kind word. Maybe it's picking up a meal. Maybe it's just, you know, a service project, going and cutting somebody's grass, whatever it is. Look, I'm a firm believer. If God lays something on your heart in that area, go do it. You don't need to think about it and what if, and Lord, send me a sign. No, he gave you a sign. He laid it on your heart to go do it. That's the Holy Spirit, y'all, speaking into your heart, going, hey, I'm changing you. Step out a little bit. Trust me, I got you. And you do it one time and it gets contagious. And you do it a second time and a third time, then it becomes a habit. And then it becomes a lifestyle. And it's not always easy. It's not always, you know, just cut and dry. But y'all, I'm telling you, that's where you start making an impact in this world. And we're all sitting around today in this modern era in 2026 going, what's going on in our world? Man, we just need a little bit more Jesus. That's all there is to it. And it starts with that selfless attitude and that grace-filled ability to be able to just go to people and go, man, I love you. I don't know your story, but I want to get to know you. And how can I help you? How can we come together and make this a better place? Trust him with that today. Say a little prayer. Just reach out to somebody and get out of your comfort zone and see what you can do. He did a whole lot more for us than we could ever do for him. So if he hung on a cross and conquered death, I think you can go next door and bake a cake and cut a yard or whatever it may be. But whatever the Lord lays on your heart, go do that today. Happy Sunday, everybody. Look forward to being back here next week. Thanks for your time. And as always, had a great time. And we will see you next week on Sunday morning.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 106.5, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.